This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, together with Sharmila Gunnison and Kelly Anissa. Before we get into our second story, a quick check on social media.
So we're asking you on Twitter, how do you feel about parents posting public videos of their kids online? So 58% of you have said depends on the content, followed by 35% of you who said no, it's exploitative, and 6% of you said parents would know best.
Very little confidence in parents there.
So you can always join the conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
Yeah, so I'm on the line of it depends on the content, and the reason I'm saying this is it was April Fool's Day last week, as we all know. And an article that came out following that caught my eye. A popular YouTube couple, this is a thing I did not know, a YouTube couple called Cole and Savannah LeBron, they decided to play an April Fool's Day prank on their young daughter. So some background on the family and their YouTube video channel.
Yeah.
Look at me. So judgy. They have amassed more than 8.7 million followers on their YouTube channel, which is called the LeBron Fam, where they chronicle their day-to-day lives. And their video also features 6-year-old Everlay, Savannah's daughter from a previous relationship, as well as the couple's infant daughter, Posey, and the family's tiny Pomeranian, Carl.
Carl.
So, Posey, Carl, and
Everlay,
right. So for this year's April Fools, the channel posted a video called, quote unquote, "We have to give our puppy away, saying goodbye forever."
Oh, dear.
Right. And about halfway through the 40-minute video, the family, you know, is kind of lounging on the sofa, and Everlay is shown with her head buried in a pillow.
Yeah, so the video basically shows the parents breaking the news that they're giving away the family dog, and they're citing reasons like they can't take good enough care of the dog at their house because they're always filming.
Ironically.
Then the dad continues to basically taunt the girl by putting her in charge of choosing a new family for the dog. But the young girl, who's clutching the fluffy white pooch and wearing this heartbreaking, sad expression, doesn't say a word.
And only then do the parents pull the plug on the prank. They go, "So, also the last thing that we wanted to tell you is that tomorrow is April Fool's and this is our April Fool's video." Oh. But instead of laughing it off, the girl actually burst into tears, and she took a few minutes to recover.
So the prank, you know, basically landed them in the doghouse with their followers and so many others as well. You know, backlash was really swift. People got onto social media and really let them have it. So among some of the comments that this video got was, "Violating her trust, not okay. You must ask her for forgiveness. Otherwise, this will impact her for a lifetime. Parenting fail big time." That could have been me writing it.
Yeah.
Another one was, "Do Cole and Savannah want Everlay and her sister to grow up hating them? Yikes."
Sorry, it's a bit evil laughter. Well, you know, but that said, the couple did have quite a few defenders. You know, among some of the comments that people wrote were, "She's a child, she'll bounce back, get over it already." But this other comment, though, kind of sums up my feelings about the whole thing. The person said, number one, why would these people put every facet of their lives on social media? And are we that hungry for attention that nothing is sacred anymore? And secondly, why are 8 million people over following them? Stop enabling them. They need jobs like everyone else.
But vlogging, the frequent recording and uploading of personal videos, usually on YouTube, has become a big business. So, or rather, a sea of businesses with operators as small as one person and as large as a massive production company.
Yeah, it's become a real business. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, it's and family vlogging is the ultimate family business. You literally get paid for raising your kids. And the more fun a family has, the more viewers and therefore money, you know, they get. So the popular clans can attract sponsorship, advertising, and at the very least, a lot of free stuff to play with on camera.
Right, yeah.
And brands seeking a PG-rated YouTube outlet have flocked to family vloggers, and time spent watching family vloggers is up by 90% in the past year alone.
Wow, that is really quite a big number.
It is, it's huge, and it was just growing, according to YouTube.
But there is a dark side to all of these seemingly lighthearted videos. There have been many cases, but most recently in March this year, a hit YouTube family comedy series called Fantastic Adventures, created by an Arizona family, was actually shut down amid allegations of child abuse happening off screen. The mother, whose name was Michelle Hackney, is accused of neglecting and physically abusing the 7 adopted children who starred in the videos.
Yeah, it was quite terrible. She, would lock them up, would not give them food, deprive them of food. She would physically abuse them, like, you know, really cruel things, like scratching them, you know, hurting them in their private parts. Just awful, awful things she was doing.
While also milking them for money.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, in the videos, they were this happy little family, you know, cute music and, you know, very ha-ha-hee-hee, you know, we're a happy family. Look at me, my 7 adopted children. And she has 2 biological children, older ones who would, you know, feature as well. And it just looked like a wonderful mixed family.
That is terrible.
It was horrible.
And in another particularly awful case, Michael and Heather Martin, a couple from Maryland, posted videos of themselves shoving, screaming, and abusing their 5 kids.
Yeah.
So their 2 youngest bore the brunt of the abuse, and an investigation from child services found that both of them had suffered a mental injury from the pranks. So Michael and Heather lost custody of the 2 youngest children and were convicted of child neglect in September 2017. And they were sentenced to 5 years probation and also ordered to take the videos down.
Yeah, I watched a little bit, like a few snippets of these videos, and they are yelling profanities at these little children. You
on
know.
Camera?
On camera, wow. You know, like, you know, pulling pranks and yelling at the children. The child is there, you know, crying and not knowing how to deal with it. Mm. And then they'll just laugh and say, ha ha. Prank.
Oh, right. Yes, I think I've seen these.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
And where they pretend that they're really angry at the kids.
Furious,
and then
yeah.
at the end, it's, oh, we're just joking.
Yeah,
right?
And there's your child in a puddle, you know, of despair and
right.
just not understanding
and
what
yes,
just happened.
Yes, and having their emotions just completely toyed with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just mental abuse. What it is. That's just flat out mental
it's
abuse. Fair,
yes, child abuse. And the thing is, little remorse or understanding has ever been shown by the Martin parents. They even published a video to confront initial criticism, you know, for their actions, which was titled Blocking the Haters.
Oh.
You know? And in that video, you know, the dad, Michael, actually asked the children who are gathered around the family kitchen table, he says, is anyone traumatized? And, you know,
my God,
what are you going to do when your parents are asking you this on a video, which you know they're going to post up?
Right.
Like, what is your answer going to be? Right. So apparently one of the things the child said was, at least you don't hit us.
Oh, gosh.
I now remember this video.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's coming
exactly.
back to me.
So, I mean, can these pranks and videos traumatize children? I actually spoke to Katiana Azman. She's a consultant child psychologist. So, you know, I was asking her, you know, what are the kind of impacts this is going to have on, you know, any child, you know, this kind of behavior? So, Katiana, how did you feel about, you know, the sort of thing where parents play pranks on their kids for the clicks, you know, and for like the entertainment of others?
Personally, I'm not a big fan of it. Just because I guess just working very much, working very closely with children, I spend a lot of time kind of trying to help parents translate their words and their actions into something that's age appropriate. So when I say that, we have to be very mindful of the fact that children lack the faculties, or what I like to say, they lack the hardware that adults have in terms of understanding or it being able to interpret certain situations. Mm-hmm. So when we look at, you know, all these pranks that parents are pulling, you know, because of April Fools and things like that, what we also probably don't realize when things like that are happening is that the child is not able to maybe process or cope with the implications of it being a joke, you know, very yes. much like an adult. So the thing that kind of makes me pause and, you know, kind of makes me quite unhappy with the things that I've seen in this article and the things that are being discussed is the fact that as adults, these individuals are not really taking into consideration the implications of it onto these children. Especially if it's done mostly for entertainment or for some type of you know, social media fame and things like that. It's just really not something that children can appreciate and really something that probably does them more harm than good. So I'm not really a fan of it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, same here. I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, the immediate impact, of course, I suppose, is, you know, the sadness or, you know, not knowing how to process what's going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, and I think the biggest problem is that the you're introducing a lot of emotional turmoil in a very sort of acute sense by, you know, if we make reference to the article that we've seen, you know, telling the child that they have to part with, you know, something that they're that they love very dearly, or to tell a child that they are somehow at fault for something that a bad that's about to happen. Mm. Even though that is all a joke, we are introducing a lot of negative emotions in a situation that really does not call for it. And because children, again, do not have the type of hardware neurologically that enables them to be able to understand things such as how to regulate your emotions, how to understand long-term consequences, and being able to know that, you know, this is not something that's serious. Yeah. This is something that was all a joke, and that, you know, there is no implication down the line. These are all things that the children are not able to do very naturally. And so, you know, for example, telling a child that, oh, we have to give up your pet because, you know, you are so busy with dance and so busy with all that sort of thing, what you're doing is that you're creating a schema, or you're creating a thought process with the child that she is somehow at fault. And so what that will probably happen, what would that probably do or result in, even if you turn around and say, you know, haha, April Fools, it's a joke, is that you've planted a thought into their head which has the possibility of reappearing at a later time.
Yes.
And so it's stuff like this, because, you know, kids very much learn from the world around them. They very much react to experiences, and that's how they grow. And so this is an experience that we're teaching them. This is some type of life experience that we're introducing. And so, you know, we're introducing things that probably are going to do more harm than good. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is going to impact how they, I mean, their future as well, isn't it? You know, how they react to certain situations as well.
Of course. And it also brings up a really important thing, such as trust. I mean, children trust their parents blindly. That's kind of how they're programmed. They take their parents' word at face value. And so if we're setting the tone whereby the parents are often participating in these pranks, you're also encouraging children to feel very insecure, because they don't really know when mom and dad are being serious and when mom and dad are actually pulling a fast one. And what it also kind of says as they grow is that you're also kind of giving them the license to behave this way as they grow themselves. You're telling them that this type of behavior of not being truthful, of feeling that it is acceptable to manipulate other people's emotions, you know, knowing full well that they're going to be upset about this lie or this fib that you're about to make. These are all lessons that we're teaching children at a very impressionable stage in their life. And so, you know, from a practitioner's point of view, I think that this is a very detrimental practice. Mm-hmm. Definitely something that is more acceptable if your children are, you know, pre-adolescent or teenagers, something that they could possibly rationalize.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it to very, very young children who don't have all of these faculties in place, definitely something that could border on being quite dangerous, actually.
And I mean, just on the parent side, you know, I mean, they laughed it off. They said, oh, it was just a joke. You know,
yeah.
I'm teaching them how to deal with difficult situations. I mean, how would you respond? Yeah. And I'm sure some parents listening are thinking, oh, we're taking this too seriously.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think one thing that parents often say to me is that, oh, you know, but that was not our intention.
Yeah.
And absolutely, I know for a fact that most of these parents who do it don't do it to mean any harm. Of course, it's a joke. It's funny. And to most adults, it is kind of funny. But so the only thing that I can say to that is that, you know, we have to look at this from their perspective and not ours. We can't look at it from a grown adult of, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 or however old, and using our life experience of knowing that, you know what, this is a joke, the world's not going to end, our life is going to continue. These children don't have that ability, because their life experience extends to only maybe 4, 5, 6, 10, whatever years old. And so whatever that we are exposing them to and whatever that we're introducing into their lives, that is what currently formulates their rule of how the world works. So when parents say that, oh, you know, that was never my intention, absolutely, I understand. But what needs to happen is that the children are not going to be automatically understand that concept. So what parents need to do is to be able to, you know, if your child becomes very upset as a result of the prank, mm-hmm. then what really needs to happen is a follow-up conversation whereby the parents actually listen to what the children are saying with regards to how they feel and address it as it comes. Don't brush it off, because I think that was something that was also a concern with the article I read where the parents were like, you know, it's not that big a deal, you know, tell me how you feel. And the child said they were sad, and parents kind of brushed it off and said, oh, but you shouldn't be sad, it's not that big a deal. You know, again, you know, discrediting the fact that this was a very traumatic experience for them. So yeah. If your child becomes, you know, surprisingly upset or is finding it very difficult to cope with the fact that it was a prank, I really recommend having a follow-up conversation with them and saying, you know, look, we saw that you were quite upset just now, and really it was not mom and dad's intention. We just thought it'd be kind of funny because it's April Fool's, so why don't you tell us how you feel and we can talk about it? Because what we want to them, what we want to kind of instill is that sense of security where children know that mom and dad do put my feelings, do put my well-being first, and that, you know, a joke or a laugh or some type of like social media fame does not come above how I feel. Because those are the types of higher level messages that, you know, older children might want to comprehend, that, you know, wow, this is something that really upset me. And mom and dad know so well that it was something that was going to upset me, but they did it anyway for the clicks and for the likes. So, you know, these are the types of messages that, yes, as, you know, an adult, we might think is a little bit, you know, extreme, a little bit over the top, but these are genuine things that children do consider. So we as adults do need to do our, you know, our justice to them and address it as it comes, if you'd want to be the kind of parent that pranks them all the time.
So that was Katiana Azman. She's a consultant child psychologist. Yeah, so I guess if you do want to prank your child, you do need to also explain to them. You need to deal with how they're emotions are after that. Like, you can't just laugh it off and laugh off how they feel about
Absolutely.
It either. Yeah.
When it comes to seemingly, you know, harmless videos of young people on its platform, YouTube has no purview over what is happening behind the scenes to those children.
Exactly.
So child safety experts say that it would be an impossible request of YouTube to expect them to monitor abuse or neglect happening off camera.
Mm. But back in January this year, YouTube actually decided to ban dangerous challenges and pranks from the platform, and they updated their community guidelines and enforcement of rules with a promise that they will remove content that qualifies as encouraging violence or dangerous activities. They will be prohibiting challenges presenting a risk of serious danger or death, and pranks that make victims believe that they are in serious physical danger or cause children to experience severe emotional distress. YouTube also says that it will switch off comments on almost all videos featuring those who are under 18, in an attempt to better protect children and families.
That's a great move, you know, because YouTube did also come up with, actually pedophiles started entering these chat groups chats and sending messages to the children directly,
right,
or, you know, alerting other pedophiles onto, you know, videos featuring children. So there's just like so much danger, you know, and like you said, Kelly, you know, it's really hard to, you know, kind of police, you know, to monitor
each and every single
exactly. So much can go on, you know, and only so much YouTube can do, but I'm glad that they have at least taken some steps. I don't know, do you guys follow anyone on?
Not people who do these kind of things.
Yeah.
No, it's never appealed to me, this idea of catching people unaware on video or treating people's pain or you know, deception as some kind of spectator sport. I don't really fancy it.
Yeah, neither do I. How about you, Kelly?
I mean, I don't follow any prank channels, but speaking about families, there is this, I don't think it's on YouTube, I think it's Facebook, this AB family. The way they treat their children in the videos is very healthy. That's not a toxic sense of like entertainment. That's not toxic content. And I think that if you're going to involve your kids in this platform, it should be done that way.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, let us know how you think. I mean, we're going to go on a final check now on Twitter and social media. I mean, what are people responding?
So we asked you, how do you feel about parents posting public videos of their kids online? So 60% of you said it depends on the content. 32% of you said no, it's exploitative. And 8% of you said parents would know best. one Twitter user here said, Red Rose, said that the key question I feel is, what about respecting the privacy of the child who grows up into an adult?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
A great point.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot more discussion going on about that, you know, how I think children are starting to sue their parents for.
Yes, because the first generation of kids who sort of grew up with Facebook are now approaching adulthood.
Yeah.
And they're like, who put up all these baby pictures of me that I never gave you permission to do?
Exactly. So fight back, children. Fight back. So I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my on our BFM app, or you can also find us on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Sharmilaya will be speaking to two journalists from India about the country's upcoming general elections. That's quite fraught with lots of things
to unpack there.
Lots to unpack there. All right. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, it's Cruel to Be Kind by Nick Lowe. You've been listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.